Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions Week 15 matchup with the Denver Broncos. What do we expect in this game as the Lions return to Ford Field to face a suddenly surging 7-6 Denver Bronco team? We're also going to talk major storylines around the Detroit Lions as well. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone. This is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Good to have you here, Coach.
Great to be here, Matt.
Now, as we get into it, just want to remind the listeners, please hit the subscribe and the like button. That is helping us build momentum. Okay, here we are. The Lions are hosting the 7-6 Denver Broncos on a Saturday night primetime game. Coach Campbell was asked what it means about playing his former mentor. Here's what he had to say.
It means we better be on our stuff because he's going to come here to try to embarrass us. That's what it means. And so that's our motivation. That's my motivation. And it's about winning, man. All we got to do is find a way to win. And we're going to have to be at our best. And we will be at our best.
Yep. Coach, what are your takeaways from Campbell's response to that question?
Well, I mean, you look at it first, you know, I remember him. I think he said something, we better be ready or Coach Payton's going to come in here and smash us or put one on us or something like that. And, you know, you got to look at a couple things that I was thinking about and I kind of looked it up. You know, Coach Payton, he drafted Dan Campbell. He was in the draft room. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yes. When he also left for Dallas, he took Campbell with him. And then Campbell, of course, came to Detroit. And then, of course, Campbell ended up coaching with them. So I think there's a lot. I mean, he respects Dan Campbell a ton to have him around, to keep him around. And basically, Dan Campbell has learned from that coaching tree. So I think there's some really, really big things in on this. And, you know, and it's when you're talking teacher, student, you know, when you get into that situation, you want to come out and try to best your teacher to show him that he taught him everything that he knows. Where Dan Campbell's thinking, he did teach me everything I know, but hopefully I found out something that he doesn't know about me, you know, and Payton is thinking the same thing. I taught him everything he knows, but I haven't taught him everything I know. And so I think those are things that you're looking at. You know, I'm going to touch base on one thing real quick. See if this sounds familiar for you. And because we're talking about the coaches, when the Broncos were 1-5, he brought up, hey, remember last year when the Lions were 1-6? Since that talk, what has the Broncos done? Does this all sound familiar? So you're talking some huge relationship there between two guys that respect the ground in the earth and the football field that each one walks on. So this is a huge game for both sides.
I agree completely on that. I love that nugget you found that Sean Payton drafted him because That was with the New York Giants franchise. That wasn't with the Saints. And so that's real interesting there. And you're absolutely right. The Denver Broncos are a surging team. They're 7-6, but they've won 6 of their last 7. Now, a lot of those are close wins, but they've been gaining momentum. And as I said, they're surging. One of the big keys to their turnaround has been the turnover game. Denver's been really good at getting those in their victories. And Coach Campbell even talked about that. I think they might actually be leading the league in it now at this point. And the Lions have had the same issue, but going the other direction. I think that's going to be a huge key in this one and something the Lions are going to probably focus on big time.
Well, there is. And we know that the turnover battle, Coach Campbell talks about it every week. Coaches talk about it every week. You know, Sean Payton, his goal is, hey, we're going to win the turnover battle. We're going to win a football game. You know, it's the same thing that Dan Campbell preaches. Everybody does. I mean, you have to, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you if you're plus in that category, your chances of winning arise. And, you know, I mean, I look at what, you know, what, Denver's defense has done over the last 7-8 weeks. It's incredible, you know? And again, they got a great coach over there. You know, it was funny. I read a thing today where Russell Wilson went up to their DC and said, I played against you 100 times. And, you know, you're one of the best D coordinators of all times. And that talk also came after that 1-5 start. And I think that's one of the things that these guys are starting to get. You know, they're all starting to fill into this program. It's a, you know, it's a new coaching staff together, you know, with Russell Wilson, and they're making those changes, and people are starting to follow the rules and the books and the ideas of what each offense, defense, and special teams coordinator is doing, as well as with the head coach. So yeah, they're a scary football team right now.
Well, and that's the thing. They didn't look scary early when they got out to that really slow start. But it should be no surprise, like you just brought up, when you get the new coaching staff and stuff, it takes time for things to gel. And let's look at the offense and defense. We'll start with the offense. Their offense has gotten in a groove as the season has progressed. And they're going downfield a lot more. And that's going to be a big test for the Lions. I mean, Cortland Sutton is their leading receiver with 53 catches. Almost 700 yards, and he has 10 touchdowns. That's going to be a big test for that secondary on the Lions.
Oh, for sure. I read that he is, over the last 7 games, he's 49.7% of their air yards.
Wow.
49.7% of their air yards, which is just crazy. And, you know, I talked about a couple things from the last game. That tight end that caught the touchdown pass, Troutman. Mm-hmm. Rapids boy, you know, Northern Michigan, all Rapids boy. And it's funny because I was kind of listening about that play, and it was one of those things that they had drawn up or came up with. And here's a thing that you're going to really like, and I think the people that are listening are like, Peyton talked, I listened to him today or listened to one of his things today. He talked about he has all 63 touchdowns in his library from last week or the week before that. He goes through and picks and tags like 18 of them, you know, not a guy scrambled, and uses those and figures out if he can use those within the game plan that, you know, that he borrowed or stole or took from somebody else. That touchdown play, I believe Troutman's touchdown play, was one of those things that he had discovered watching the other teams in the NFL through this little library that he looks at. I mean, that's the cool thing about when you listen to those guys, what they're actually doing to be successful. And it's, and you know, and again, he called that play because he knew two years ago, Chargers had done or lined up a certain situation and they exploited it. And there you go. So, you know, and that's what they're doing right now. That's doing their homework. And, you know, we have to worry about that. They're using their film studies and things like that to exploit what we're going to do defensively.
I love that view behind the curtain right there, Coach, because a lot of average fans don't know what goes into building these offenses and the scouting work. And him seeing stuff that works out there from other teams and taking it and using it, that just gives the viewer, the listener, an idea of what kind of goes into some of this. You know, Denver's offense, like we said, has gotten into a groove with the passing thing. The rushing game's actually been better. And so this offense is becoming a well-rounded team. Their running backs are no slouches. Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin, They are solid runners, and the Lions have a good run defense, but it is going to be tested, and the pass defense will be tested. The Denver offense, according to my uncle, I got to tell you, Denver Broncos have been his favorite team forever, and that became my de facto second favorite team. And so watch them a lot. I haven't watched them as much recently, but he thinks that the Broncos offense is doing well. He likes the fact that they're going downfield more and getting more creative. You switch over to the defense. He's a little nervous about their defense against the Lions offense. Now, they are bottom three in yards allowed, 24th against the pass, and the league worst against the rush, giving up 144 yards. But as you pointed out, they have gotten better as the season's gone on. I mean, they held the Chargers to 7 points. I know Herbert did get injured in that game, and the Texans they narrowly lost against, but then they held the Kansas City Chiefs to 9 points, a number of turnovers, a lot of factors, but the defense has been improving as well. What are you expecting out of their defense before we turn to the Lions?
Well, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, last week they had six different guys had sacks, and they had 8 batted down passes. That's just amazing. Their DC is doing a great job in that. So since that 1-5 start, they've only allowed 15.9 points per game. That's half the points allowed in the first 6 games. You know, so that, you know, it's a little nerve wracking. And that's what, you know, that's the thing is with, you know, what they're doing right now. They're believing in, they're coming downhill, they're attacking people, they're running great coverages, and they're playing a great team defense. And so that's a concern for us. You know, again, we have our own concerns, offensively, defensively, special teams, you know, which is exploited last week. And we know that that's what the big thing is doing. We have to, you know, you and I had talked about last week, soul searching. The Lions are hopefully doing a ton of that soul searching themselves. I know they're all blaming themselves and not other people for the loss. And I think that's all we have to worry about. We have to worry about catching balls. We have to worry about making blocks. We have to worry about not giving up 4 or 5 sacks as an individual. We have to worry about not having bad snaps. We have to, and those are things that we have to take care of ourselves. And granted, I'm not downplaying the Broncos defense, but if we take care of ourselves, things should take care of themselves. And we have to. We know that. Campbell's talked about it. Goff's talked about it.
Well, you mentioned multiple people have talked about it. Here's Jared Goff talking about the Broncos defense.
Yeah, really good. Really good scheme. Obviously, Surtain's a great player. But they got a lot of good players over there. Do some variety of pressures. And like you said, try to create turnovers. And that'll be our challenge this week, is making sure we're taking care of the ball and giving us the best chance to win.
And so he says a lot of those things that we've kind of been bringing up, obviously. It's good hearing from him what he sees about it, those pressures, trying to create the turnovers. Those are the challenges. So what's the offense got to do this week against that defense? Well, I think we want to see them get some consistency. I've recently said the Lions offense is kind of like a Ford Mustang that needs a tune-up right now, because it does some really great things, but it's not staying consistent. You don't have the accelerating ability that you normally should have. And again, it's the NFL. Everything's not going to work on every play. But Coach Campbell was asked about it after the Bears game, and he talked about the team needing to kind of have a rhythm and that there isn't a ton of room for error, as he put it, with the team. What are you thinking about the offense?
I think the same thing. I think we have to get our edge back. I think Kamensky had mentioned that, and I know he wasn't just talking defensively. And I think that we don't have it. I love the tune up of the Mustang, you know. And again, then I think we have to go to the big F-350 dually and start running people over. I'm sorry, or the Raptor, and I don't care which way you look at it. We'll talk about Ford cars all day long, but the line have to get back to that. We had 2 running backs last week that averaged 6.6 yards per carry. What happened? Penalties, you know, false starts, the play right before the clock running out. You know, those are all things that, you know, you're at 1st and 10. Now you're at 1st and 15. We get out of our game plan and we lose, you know, we lose focus or lose where we're going at it. You know, I think we take that tuned up Mustang and we run with it and we just do what we do best. And that's run the football, play action pass, and not get ourselves behind the chains. When we get behind the chains, we kind of, we get into a problem and a concern. We have to stay ahead of those chains. We have to move. We have to stay on phase, on schedule, whatever way you want to say it, and move the football and do what we do best. And that's blue collar, lunch pail, lock it up. Let's go.
I agree. That running game was going. It was kind of baffling because we saw the same thing in the Saints game where we were using a lot earlier and we went away from it. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can get it going and stick with it. I also would like to say, I'd like to see the Lions. It seemed like they didn't take a lot of shots far down the field last week. And I don't know if that was by design or by default of different situations, but it seems like spreading the defense would be good because then they can't get up around the line as much. How big of an importance is that to you, do you think, for the Lions to do something like that, Coach?
Well, we want to talk run or we want to talk pass. So we want safeties in the box to stop the run. Do we want safeties deep so we can run the under routes? Until we start threatening the deep routes to get the safeties to deepen up, our under routes got covered pretty well the other day, even though we had a few drops and stuff like that in situations. I mean, you know, that's part of the game, but we can't have those. So, I mean, they all go hand in hand. When we get into a flow, and I think that's what Coach Campbell's talking about and Gott was talking about, we get into a flow, we look at the defense and go, oh, they're too high safeties. All right, we're running the ball. Oh, they have a safety down the box. Okay, we're going to pass the ball. And I think those are things we have to go back and forth with. I don't know if we're not recognizing them. I don't know if last week the Chicago Bears disguised them so well. I know there were some times the commentators were talking about it looked like the receiver golfed through a zone pass where the receiver thought it was a man-to-man pass. So I think we have to, once we get into that situation, we can dictate how our offense is going to produce by being able to identify their different disguises. And I think that's the thing. But again, we cannot get behind the chains because then we have to change what we can do. We can open up that playbook.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, especially those penalties that set you back that just made it even that much more difficult to get those first downs, especially important in the second half. Would love to see that running game get going and, again, pass the ball more than 5 to 6 yards down the field to stretch that defense and open the running game even that much more. And along with the offense, they're supposed to be a top five, top seven offense. We need them to perform to their level. So it doesn't put extra stress on the defense. Now the defense had some different looks this past week. Kendall Vildor was sharing time at defensive back. It sounds like that might continue a little bit. We saw Ifeatu Melifonwu playing at safety. Coach, what are you taking of the defense right now?
Well, we didn't talk about Maven last week, but we need to talk about Maven again this week. I mean, that kid, he gets a sack. He knocks the ball down. I'm going to tell you, I love what Glenn is doing right now with the different personnel, with the different personnel packages, with the different rush concepts. We had pressure on the quarterback last week. We got sacks on the quarterback last week. We batted a ball down on the quarterback last week. When did we get beat last week? When we jumped off sides and on a free down. When we didn't cover the edge, because we weren't disciplined in that situation. You know, those are two of the things that we talk about. When we got pressure on, we had Fields basically down at the 1 yard line. He broke three for a big run. We did give him one big run on it, but we did a great job in adjustments and keeping him in the pocket and keeping. He had some big splash plays. And again, a guy like that's going to have big splash plays. How do you come back and empty it? The touchdown pass, okay, on a where we jumped off sides, the not holding the edge, okay, another big splash play, and he broke out of a huge tackle. You take those three plays right there are huge in a football. Huge. And those are the things that I like. You made it good. If the offense is moving the ball and the defense is playing like they are right now, we're going to be in great shape. We got to throw in the special teams on that too, Coach. They had a big return again.
Yeah.
Change the field position. Those are plays that in the NFL change the complexity of the game. How about the two games last night? Need I say more?
Well, exactly. So there's a lot to hope still for the Lions defense here on getting some of those fixed up as we go into this game. Before we get to predictions and whatnot, let's talk about some major storylines going on. And I think the biggest one, the thing most people are talking about, the getting the most tread out there on social media and the talking heads, is the play of the team since the bye week. And Jared Goff was asked about this.
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are. I know we scored 40 against the Chargers and played pretty well against the Saints, and then the other three just didn't do our thing quite the same way offensively. And I wish you there was one thing you put your finger on, but it's not. It's just playing execution and doing what we're supposed to do, and starts with me and leading that charge and getting us back on track.
So, Coach, Goff said, you know, they've had some success. It hasn't been all bad, but they haven't had execution, and there wasn't just one thing to put your finger on. I mean, you looked at that Chicago game. There were so many things that came together that just created that. And so the fans and the media have been talking about it as well. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, a lot of it, it's that last quarter of the season. Everybody's playing their best ball. The teams that are 4-8, how many 4-8 teams won games yesterday? And on Sunday, end of story. Okay. There's guys playing for their job, whether you're 4-8 team or whether you're an 8-4 team. So you're going to get the best from everybody, because it's getting down to that thing. The teams that don't have a shot to get into the playoffs, they're going to play extra hard so that they can knock somebody out of the playoffs. You know, it's a long, grueling season. The injuries, the people that are tired, there's so many things that go into this. And I think that's one of the biggest things on when you look at what we're doing. Everybody we've played has a purpose for that play. Okay. Fields doesn't know if he's going to have a job next. The coach from the Chicago Bears doesn't know if he's going to have a job next year. They're reading the media. Everybody's reading the media. So I think those are the biggest things that you look at in this time of the year. What were we doing at this time of the year last year? We were hunting everybody. Okay. We were going after everybody. We're going to knock them off. We're in playoff mode right now. So I think those are things that we have to look at. I'll kind of toss in what my little bit of prediction is right now. Now that I'm on I'm bantering here and going off, but you know, we have got to focus on our next job, which is this game this Saturday. And we have to get the Detroit Lions edge back, like Kamensky said. And those are things that are going to make a difference. Don't play scared. Don't play, we got to win the division. Don't play, we got to keep the record going. Play like we play and play loose.
Now, I agree. I think that's one thing people are hoping, is they're looking for get that moxie, that swagger that the Lions had last season. They had it early this season, and we've got some few weeks to get it back. And one thing I'll say people might be overlooking a little bit is I think we've gone 3-2 in those games where we haven't played very well. We've actually, 3-2 since the bye, and we haven't played very well. And so I don't want to know how concerned you are, because I don't know that really answers things. I want to ask you two questions here. The first one, which is, what concerns you about the way the Lions have played since the bye? What concerns you?
I think they have pressure on themselves to produce, to win. They are reading, they're reading some of the media stuff. Hey, we're going to be the number one team. We win this week. Hey, we got a chance to host playoffs. Hey, we're going to win the division. And I think we're still a young team, and we still have to learn how to win. And I think those things are all in the back of these guys. They can say they are, they can say they aren't, but they are. They're going to catch that. And I think that's my biggest concern. Forget what everybody's saying. Dan Campbell talks about what's in the locker room. And that's what we have to focus on. That's what we focused on for the last for a whole year now.
All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing the concern aspect, because people say, how concerned are you? You see all those polls, but I don't know what is that concerns you. And that's great to have that insight. I know that you're a person who's optimistic as well, and you see good signs. And so being a fair evaluator, though, even though you do have concerns, what gives you optimism or hope about this team still, other than just their record?
The staff, the players, what they've done over the last, since let's say, talk about what they've done since they were 1-6 last year. And those are the things that I'm positive about. I was down as I've ever been on Sunday when they lost that game. You got my text message. You know, those were just things where I was voicing my opinion. But then I started looking at the 4-8 teams that are winning. Then I started looking at what every team that we play is after and what they're coming after. Then I look at, you know, we had a bad snap, uncharacteristic plays by our superstars, uncharacteristic plays by our guys last week. I believe if we right that ship, okay, and that was one of my mottos a couple of years ago, right the ship at Glen Lake, you know, when we were had a bad start, the sky's the limit. And so those are the positive things I want to look at. I'm not going to jump on the board and say, oh my God, we got to get rid of this guy. Oh my God, we got to get rid of that guy. You know, I looked at stats today, Matt, about the quarterbacks in the league. Okay. Yeah. I looked at stats. Hurts. Should he be canned? Should he be benched? Should Tua be benched? I mean, God, you guys, this is our team. Let's believe in them and let's follow them and let's cheer for them on Saturday.
I like your thought on the people in the building, because that's where I go to as well. The Lions have been selective on who they've brought in, especially from the player personnel, but also the coaching staff. And so you got to believe that they brought the right people in, because when adversity hits, that's when you find out what the players are made out of and do you have the ability to come together and rally together. I also think you hit on a great point that I was going to bring up as well, which is, you know what else gives me optimism? Some of the Lions' best players played their worst game this past week. And you know those players are not going to look to repeat that. And you saw how frustrated some of them were after the game. So knowing those things, it gives me optimism that they can get that moxie. They can get that edge back. We'll have to see if it happens. There's a lot of work to be done. And it's going to start with this Saturday. And so let's talk about what to expect at Ford Field. The Lions have been on the road here since that Thanksgiving Day game. This is their first game back. The Lions have two more games back at home this season, this one and then the finale against the Vikings with two road games in between. Saturday night, primetime Denver. I'm expecting a crazy good crowd, and I'm looking forward to the atmosphere there. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I totally agree, and I think it's going to be, the fans are going to come out going crazy. The fans are going to be excited. The fans have had all day to be in the parking lot tailgating. The Denver Broncos coming to town. You know, it's Sean Payton. It's Russell Wilson. It's a team that's a game out of first place.
They have a lot to play for, and they are going to be motivated. They've been motivated, and their motivation just goes that much higher when they see they climbed within a game and they saw a lot of frustration by Kansas City after that loss. That's very uncharacteristic, which tells you there's an opportunity there for Denver, and they're motivated even more. I think if you look at big picture right now for the Lions, you know, they're still winning the division or leading the division. Let's get the terminology right. They're leading it by two games over Minnesota. Tommy DeVito, thank you. Because of that, they have a now three-game lead over Green Bay. There are just four games left. We just want to go 1-0. We talk 1-0. But big picture is we're trying to win the division and get a home playoff game. Take care of Denver, and then we can look at Minnesota next week, and things look better against Minnesota next week if we take care of Denver. So those are the things we're focused on. I do want to point out, we did a thing about playoff tickets a couple weeks back and told people how you might be able to get them by getting on this waiting list. I've got some friends out there, and they did that thing. A friend of ours went and got their name on season tickets on the wait list for next year. They just contacted me today. They are able to purchase playoff tickets for the first playoff game should the Lions get in and should they host. So I do want to let you know that did work for them. They are super excited and hoping that the Lions can take care of business and get us there. So, Coach, let's talk prediction time. What you think's going to see, what we want to see going into this game and coming out of this game.
Well, I think, again, let's go back to our best players playing their best games. Our role players playing their best games. Our coaching staff coaching their best game. Those are the predictions. Those are the things that I want to see. And that's going to get us to that 1-0 situation. Keep the ship right. Don't jump off. You know, everybody needs to be on. Everybody needs to be on board, whether it's the guard at the gate or the fan in the parking lot. And so I just think those are things that we have to do. And I think that's what Ford Field is going to do for us. We're back home with our backs against the wall. We have to come out and play like our backs are against the wall, like we have in the past.
I agree. We want to get that edge back we're talking about. We want to get the ability to play in a different way. So we're not playing nervous, right? I mean, I just go back to the Chicago game at Ford Field where our backs were against the wall. And you looked at how well the Lions played in those last 3.5 minutes. And that's also what gives me hope. I know Jared Goff has not played well over the last, 3 to 4 weeks. We've won half of those games, even though we haven't played well during that time. We still put up some decent points, but we've had a lot of turnovers. And so I think that's the big thing. If Jared Goff can limit his turnovers, and we know he can because we saw it happen at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, that changed everything last year when those turnovers cut down. So that's my big thing is limit the turnovers, and that will change everything. But then it doesn't put the defense in bad situations. And let's get that running game going because the Lions offense needs to make sure they win the time of possession in this game. Because if the other team has the time of possession, I don't like the direction the game's going.
I totally agree with you on that. Time of possession's big. Russell Wilson's a scary individual when he's got the ball in his hand for the last drive. And I think that's a quick shout out to Russell Wilson. He had two victories last week, twice in less than 24 hours. Did you know that?
I did not, and I'm sure you're going to tell me a little bit more.
Football game, and he had his wife gave birth to their fourth child. So he said, I had two victories in less than 20. So shout out to Russell Wilson on that.
And his wife. Yes, definitely have to do that. All right, Coach, so before we get out of here, I like doing a trivia question at the end. You kind of started this thing with us, and I kind of like it. So as you know, I went to the Barry Sanders Hall of Fame induction back, and I believe it was 2004. I believe it was 2004 is when that took place. And at that event, a Denver Bronco went into the Hall of Fame as well. And so since we're playing the Broncos this week, figured I'd ask, can you tell me who that Denver Bronco player was?
Was he a tight end?
He was not a tight end.
Dang it, I was thinking sharp. Got to be one of their old linemen then. I think you got me on this one.
Do I really?
You do. I'm trying to think. And I was kind of a Bronco fan because I was born in Denver and when the Peyton days. I think you got me.
What picture comes to your mind when you think Denver Broncos the last 35 years?
Elway.
There you go.
Scoring that touchdown. Was it Elway then too?
Elway retired 98, 99 Super Bowls. He retired, and that was him and Barry going in together.
Holy cow. I can't believe I didn't even throw his name out. I was just, for some reason, I was thinking he was older than Barry. Barry retired early. I should have freaking got that one right.
Yeah, you're right. The age difference definitely threw you off on that one because of the youngness of Barry. So, Awesome. Coach, as usual, great doing the show. Let's hope for a better turnaround. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. Let's see what we make of it. Thanks for joining the show as usual.
Oh, actually, let's hopefully get a big W this week.
Awesome. And thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button while you're at it. Tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.